Well, g'day everyone. Lovely to see you here. And hello to you at the hall and at Hoyts. How awesome to be together on this night and for you at home if you're streaming in as well. My name is Dave, if we've not met before. In a moment's time, we're going to look at this passage, which is an action-packed passage, one that has enormous consequences for your and my life today, no matter where you are with God. Before we do that, though, we're going to pray. So if you're a prayer, why don't you bow your heads and pray with me that God would take away the distractions of our heart so we could focus on what he says to us today. Will you do that with me? Let's pray to God. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are not a silent God, but a speaking one. You have spoken to us in the Bible. And God, as we come here tonight, all of us are filled with so many distractions, worries, anxieties, fears, guilt, shame, anger, sadness. Lord, it's so easy for us to lose sight of what we're doing here. But please, Father, by the power of your Spirit, help us to focus on what you're saying of enormous cosmic eternal consequence for us. Help us not to leave here the same, but changed, transformed, molded more and more into the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose perfect, powerful, and holy name we pray. Amen. Growing up, my dad had a library at home. My dad was hopeless. Oh, he's a great guy. He's a really good guy. But hopeless at anything practical. I know what your father is like with that sort of stuff. My dad can barely do his... He had Velcro shoes from like 30. Okay, he can barely do shoelaces up. He is so useless with anything practical. But one thing he could do, he could have done it for Australia, is read. I mean, he could really read. And in his little study, there was hundreds and hundreds of books. I could never work out the titles even of them. I could never see what they were about. I couldn't work them out. They were so complex. But there was one above all that always caught my eye. And that book was called World's Greatest Speeches. And this book outlined over the last thousands and thousands of human history the greatest speeches known to humankind. So this week I got him to take a screenshot of that, to take a photo of that. And let me tell you, that was an accomplishment of its own. Of course, he's over 70. I'm assuming he used an iPad to take that photograph. That got more laughs in the morning than it did just then. That old people use iPads to take photos. Do you know that? Okay, so that's what he did, and he sent it to me. Now, two things struck me as I looked at this photograph, as I looked at the contents page of the greatest speeches. The first one was how many of the speeches were modern? How many of the speeches were speeches that you and I could actually go on YouTube and find? Many that I'm sure you'd be familiar with. Martin Luther King Jr., I Have a Dream. What a speech. Winston Churchill, We Will Fight Them on the Beaches. Incredible. John F. Kennedy Jr., Nelson Mandela. Now, it's interesting, the way you gauge a speech isn't that straightforward. It's not just how well the person speaks. Adolf Hitler was a great public speaker, but he's not on the list. Okay, you gauge a speech by eloquence, the eloquence of the speaker, if applicable, but also on the content. What are they actually saying? But there's a third way you gauge a great speech, and that is by the effect. In other words, how does this speech change the life of the listener or the reader? How does this speech affect how the person who hears it lives? And that leads me to the second thing I noticed. You see, the second thing that struck me about this list wasn't anything that was present on it, but the reverse. It was actually what was absent. You see, if we're going to grade and gauge great speeches of history by the effect that they have on their listener and readers, there's one speech above all which has changed the world more than all the other ones combined. One speech, one collection of words that has actually impacted individuals, generations, cities, countries, the very shape of the world you live in. Believe it or not, like it or not, you are here tonight as a direct result of it. Now, that speech was absent of this list, but I'm delighted to say it's the very one we're looking at tonight. If you've got your Bible open, wherever you are at home, at Hoyts or right here, why don't you have it open and go right to the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, right to the very end. You'll see here a speech by Jesus, which is 61 words in length. 61 words in the English translation we have. Very, very brief, but despite its brevity, very powerful. Very powerful. Incredibly influential. This speech is so famous, it's got a title. The title of it is The Great Commission. And this speech, the Great Commission, has impacted the world you live in ways we can't even begin to imagine. What's it all about? Well, have a look at verse 18 and 19, and I think verse 18 and 19 best summarize the content, the thrust, the theme, the vibe of what it says. Have a look. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus is telling his disciples, ancient and modern, yesterday and today, right now, that to be a Christian is to tell other people about Christ. That to be a disciple of Jesus includes being a disciple maker. The word you might have heard most commonly used to describe this type of behavior is evangelism. And that word actually just means the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. That's what it means. This is the mission statement of the church. If this isn't in the Bible, well, I dare say Christians would be out there sharing faith because we love people. But we wouldn't have the express command, the express desire. It turned Christianity from being a small little sect, a cult, in the Middle East 2,000 years ago, to 300 years after Jesus being the dominant religion of the world, the dominant religion of the Roman Empire. It's the mission statement of Christian people. It's what we are to be about, even deeper than that. I don't know if you feel this. It's who we are to be. It wasn't long into my own Christian walk, and I became a Christian when I was 28, but it wasn't long into my own Christian walk that I picked up that, oi, this is kind of a big deal. Ministers and pastors, they go on about this all the time. Have you felt that? My growth group leader, my pastors, every Christian, they were always encouraging me, share your faith, take advantage of those opportunities, tell other people about Jesus. But I want to say tonight that even though it's so clearly stated by Jesus, and even though good churches everywhere around the world encourage the church members to be involved in it, even though if you've been involved in church for any period of time,